Say What Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios.
Speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468.
Hey, it's Janessa.
And I'm Katie.
And this is
Say What?
All right, people, we are back. So we are going to talk about things that you notice as you get older, like beauty maintenance, like things that you notice that you maybe didn't notice before, like with people or your body. Just
that's a whole other
how
thing.
Life is totally different as you get older. Like, my eyes droop. Like, what's the skin right above your eyelid?
Is that like your eyebrow area? No,
like between your eyebrow and then your eyelid. What's that? That fleshy.
I don't know. I need one of my nurses in here. So, Kim, where's Kim? Talk to Kim.
Whatever that is
it's
getting
called PTOSIS.
PTOSIS?
I don't know how you pronounce that.
What? Did you just Google that?
Yeah, I just Googled it. It's the loosening of the upper eyelid's muscle strength.
Well, shit. Yeah,
ptosis. Yeah,
ptosis.
Well, my ptosis, I feel like one of those letters is silent. Big.
Oh yeah, well that is probably silent, huh?
Yeah. So ptosis. My ptosis has gotten really enlarged to where I feel like it's cramped my eye sockets so much where I look like I've got one eye smaller than the other now. And I looked at, like, the only way to get rid of that, it's not even, like, lasering, is surgery. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I have so much eye socket skin.
I mean, I know a couple of eye doctors you could go to. Oh, my God. I just, that scares me. But
add it to the list.
I have seen one of my accounts just got it, and her eyes look really good.
Really?
Yeah.
See, all the things that I've seen online, you can, like, really see the scar, and I don't want it to be... like crazy.
You can't see her scar at all.
Well, I know that Asians, like, is it China or is it Japan? Or maybe it's Korea, like, where it's really, I think it's Korea.
Yeah.
We had a lot of Koreans in Washington where I lived. Like,
and they
love
surgery.
Oh, yes. So, like, one of the main things when you would graduate is, like, the parents would get their daughters the eyelid surgery to look more American. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I had a friend who, growing up, that when she turned 18, she got her boobs done, but she had a condition to where, like, she couldn't even fit a tampon in, and so, like, her parents got the surgery basically so she could have sex, like, open that shit up. Yeah.
What?
Like, 18, here's boobs and an open vagina.
Go Welcome for to it, the girl. Adult world,
Go
girlfriend.
Have fun in college. Like,
oh, my God. Maybe yeah, she was condition. Born and it was, like, actually closed.
Well, it's a condition. Like, she could barely even get, like, a tampon in. And so, yeah. So there's
That's
that.
That's so sad.
I know.
Ooh, poor thing.
But, yeah, like, back to your face. Let's talk about the face.
About just
all the beauty maintenance that now comes to your face. So I'm 37. Janessa is the big 4-0.
Mm-hmm. I'll be 41 in 2 months.
Crazy. Why is it that
I look like I'm 50 and you look like no, you're 30.
Don't.
Yes.
No,
yes,
you don't.
It's true. Maybe even older than that. No. I'm God, ratchet. So totally ratchet. And you're a freaking 30-year-old. It's ridiculous. Okay, we need to talk about some beauty treatments. Okay, so besides surgery for the big eye bags, like, what are some things that, like, you know, when you get older, you start to notice all these things that happen to your face? So, like, pigmentation that happens. Mm-hmm. I know you get something done for that. What's it called?
Melasma?
Melasma
is the condition.
Discoloration.
So I use the products that I work for, and they're the best on the market, by the way.
Yes, they are.
And so that helps. And then I'll do a peel on my skin also to help pull that pigmentation out.
And don't you do a laser too?
Have you done laser? No, because with melasma, it doesn't like heat. That'll trigger it. So I can't do lasers, but I'll do microneedling. Yeah.
Okay. So microneedling is where it kind of like evens out the, not the color, but the.
Like the texture?
Texture.
Yeah. Right? It does a lot of things. So it causes like, and there's several different pens that you can use. The Mac Daddy is Morpheus 8. So it's radio frequency microneedling, and it's like a square, like a small square, if anybody could see my hands. And I don't know how many needles are in it, but when it needles your face, it also releases radio frequency into your skin. So it's,
what the fuck?
Yeah, it tightens your skin. I mean, you can use it, like, I want to do it underneath my chin and on my neck, because this is where.
Do they call that a goblet?
Yeah.
Because my goblet's getting big.
Yeah. And that's just a challenging part to treat underneath your neck.
Eric has always naturally had that. Shelby has a little bit of that. But it's like, even when they're super skinny or something, it's still there. Yeah. Like, I think that some people genetically just have that. I never had that until a couple years ago. And so definitely, like, I have not been drinking lots of water like right now. I don't have to do much.
Just you guys could look like Katie right now.
Halfway down, you're like, oh, God, I've got more chins than a Chinese phone book. So bad. But I'd love to just suck that shit out, and then it's just gone forever, right? Because those cells can't,
like lipo?
Enlarge in. I didn't even use a real word. I need more coffee. They can't expand, right? Because they're like sucked out, or people freeze it.
Yeah. I don't know. I have not heard great things about like the whole cool sculpting and like that. I don't entirely understand that. So yeah. I don't know. I do want to do the radio frequency microneedling on my neck and my chest, though.
Oh, I'd love to do my chest. I have got old woman chest now. But I sleep on my side.
Yeah.
And then when the boobs are just totally like squished together, all the skin's just like crepe paper, like whoop,
yeah,
all together. And then they just stay that way.
Yeah, I have like that permanent line. Right here too.
Yeah. Don't people put that little like silicone?
Yeah.
Have you seen those things? They put that on their face between their eyebrows at night, and then they do it between their chest. Like, I feel like that's something you'd see on infomercials, but I think more and more women are doing that.
I just don't know the purpose of that, because
it's to separate the skin at night, so you're not like pressing.
But you're going to do that every night of your life?
Could you imagine like your husband rolling over and being like, oh, babe, your boobs. Yeah, because stick my head in your boobs. You're like, oh, wait, there's this chunk of silicone.
Hold on one sec. Let me get that off.
Yeah, wait, let me take it off.
That's too much work.
I know. I feel like I'm lucky if I can wash my face before I go to bed.
Okay.
I know. But ever since I started using your stuff, I love to wash my face. Like, it actually, especially the little polish stuff that you scrub, I feel like it wakes me up. It wakes my skin up, and I need it. I need it in my life.
Yeah. I mean, I work for a really good company.
Yeah.
Our shit is the bomb.
Are you allowed to say the name on here? Or do you not want them to know what we talk about?
Yeah, I know. Maybe I don't. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be held
to account. But it's real good shit, let me tell you.
Yeah, I do love it.
I was always just using like regular soap on my face and stuff like that.
Well, Pete, it's funny because like I'm so passionate about them because of what they've done for my own skin.
Yeah.
And so when I talk to accounts, I'll show them a picture of before. Have I shown you that picture of when I was pregnant with Aston?
A while ago, yeah.
And everybody's like, holy shit, that's your skin? And most of the time, I'm only wearing sunscreen now.
Yeah. So oh, my God. That rarely. Sunscreen is everything.
Yeah.
As soon as I run out, I'm like, I take off the top. Okay. Does anybody else do this with any of their beauty products? Yeah. Do you just take the cap off when you can't squeeze something out in your hand anymore? Do you take the top off and you use whatever you can to fit inside of that thing to scrape out every last bit of that product? Because, I mean, that's just... I've always been like that. Like, I am going to get every last drop of this thing before I get it again.
People will cut the tubes of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And squeeze it out. And I.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Hell yeah. It's like gold.
So, let's see. Oh, okay. This happened when we moved here.
What?
All these things have happened to my face. They're like totally going against me. Okay, so eye socket skin. Now I have those like permanent pores on my nose that are so hard to freaking cover. Yeah. So hard. But when we moved here, all of a sudden from Washington, it was during the summer of when we moved here. All of a sudden I started noticing something on my lip that didn't look right, like my upper lip. And of course, when you Google things, it's like, oh, you have cancer.
Everything's cancer.
Yes. So I went to that skin doctor and it looks like you work with him, Treasure Valley's.
I don't. No.
You don't? Oh.
I just follow him.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So went to him and he's
like,
it looks suspicious.
Yeah.
And so they did that punch biopsy. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That was so painful.
Yeah, especially on your lip.
Oh my God.
Did they numb it?
Yes, but it was still awful. Yeah. So, big chunk that they took out. And then, of course, when he sewed it back up, sorry, he did not do a very good job sewing it back up because I could see right away with the stitches that there was still like a little bulb at the top of like where he, you know, if you're doing a corset.
Yeah.
Okay. And say you're doing it on my body. So you're a little plump. And then you're trying to sew it up at the bottom. And then at the top, everything is just kind of like a muffin at the top, right? Like, that's what happened on my lip. And so I told him, I'm like, that doesn't look right. And he's like, oh, it'll just, you know, everything will even out when it, you know, heals. And so sure enough, it still looks like this little bulb. And it kind of looks like I'm walking around. It's been 2 years. And it kind of looks like... You know, if somebody starts to get a cold sore and you have like those little bumps or whatever, it looks like I have that on my freaking lip. So it just adds to it. It's like, no, I'm not. I don't have a cold sore. This is just what I'm left with. Damn it. Like, and of course, thank God it wasn't cancer, but it was something with my autoimmune where my body was like fighting something. It happened to be there. So he got all that out, but he told me like never get lip injections, kind of like when people get keloids on their ear.
That's
like
Alan does.
Yeah. So he's like, you don't want to ever have like lip filler or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, awesome. So now I'm left with this. What? I can't. I can't even do like freaking micro needling on my damn lip. Can we try to even this shit out?
Like, yeah, micro needling like right above your lip is so. For me, that's one of the most tender spots is right there.
Oh, God. Well, let's talk about the lip. You don't have hair, damn it, anywhere on your body. Okay. So the rest of us that are hitting this stage in our life, we're getting hair on our lip. We're getting hair on our chin. You know how guys get when they're in their 60s or 70s, they start getting ear hair?
Oh, yeah. It's like fucking weird. Tarantula in their ears.
But this is like... Okay, of all the other things that are happening in my body, in my face, I don't need more things like man hair on my upper lip or my chin, or you're thinking you're looking good and then you look in a mirror and you're at the side kind of angle and you see have chin hair and you're like, fuck, I gotta try to pluck that out. Or if my nails aren't sharp enough and I can't try to pull it out, if I'm out, like, say I'm out running errands or something, you notice a chin hair, you're like, oh my God, I don't have tweezers with me. And you're trying, like, desperately to grab on to that one hair with your two nails. God, you're hoping to God nobody runs into you, or if they do, you take like 5 steps back so they don't see,
or cover your chin like this, like you're just itching
yourself.
Oh my
God.
Oh my God.
Or shit, you start noticing that, like, I have white eyebrow hair.
Oh yeah.
What does that lead to? I now have gray vagina hair. I'm old. I'm old. You know you're old when you... Sorry, Travis.
Travis, somebody's nails are going there.
Oh, but you look down there and you're like, oh my God. I'm really old. Am I really to that point where I have like a grandma vagina?
Well, but I think that, like... I don't know if it's hereditary. I don't know enough about that. But I got white, like, gray hair in my 20s.
I did at 24. I started growing gray on my head.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a whole different thing. I know. And when I your vagina any... gets old, too.
I know. And I just am like, that's the one thing I'm not jealous about.
I know.
All. My mom's like, if I get old and I can't do things on my own, like, just make sure you trim, like, pull out my chin hair. I don't have like a mustache.
Oh my God. That's why you got to be good to your kids. I know. I've truly thought about that. As soon as I started getting like facial hair, I was like, okay, if I am in a home or when I'm just too old and because I already can't see very well. If I'm just old and I'm laying there on my deathbed, I need to make sure that like my daughter at least has my back where she's going to be like, Mom, I'm going to pluck these hairs for you because everybody's up close and we can all see it. So this is going to hurt a little bit, but just this is for you.
On.
Good. Yeah.
Hang on, Mom.
I mean, all these things you have to deal with.
I know.
Or like your boobs. The boobs.
Yours are gigantic.
Yeah. But you know, here's the thing. You never get over the fact that like, your nipples are not the same size as they used to be, like after, you know, you breastfeed and stuff. I've got sand dollars now. I used to have little cute little pink quarters.
You were showing us the other night at dinner, remember?
I didn't show you my nipples. Like, I didn't take them out.
Well, did they were like halfway.
I did not. I did not.
I swear to God.
No, I didn't.
I swear to God.
No, I didn't. I had one of those tops that was like all the way up to my like neck.
No, that was like, see?
There's no way.
I swear.
The shirt was all the way up to like, it was almost like a freaking turtleneck what I was wearing. How could I show you my nipples through that? I guess there was a little mesh. I know I showed how heavy they were.
Well, I just feel bad for your back.
Yeah, well, there's that. But the nipple thing, like quarters to... Sandals.
Okay, well, it's how weird cute. Would it be if you had a quarter-sized nipple on your gigantic boob?
I still think that would look better.
Really? I don't think so. That would be so weird.
I already had those things cut down from when I had the breast reduction. They had already cut my nipples down. But then I had Shelby, and I gained 100 pounds, and then, you know, first thing that got big was my boobs, and sure enough, porn star boobs again.
And then they're like, oh, just kidding. You're done nursing. No more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're they just look great when you here. Don't want to be touched. And then when it's over,
they're like flapjacks.
Just roll them up and tuck them in.
I just think it becomes like the Discovery Channel. Like these are. Like they're so tribal. They'll never be perky again. They're just, it's so sad. But this is the stuff that, like, when you're younger, you don't you just don't think like your body is going to or could ever look like that. Like, I remember looking at women and going, oh my God, she's got a butt in the front. That's got to suck. And now I have a butt in the front.
You do not.
Yes, I do. I have a full-on fupa. And so, like, there are definitely some jeans that you put on. I'm like, oh my God. Or if you turn to the side, it looks like it's as big in the front as it is your ass. And then you just thank God for yoga pants because they're like, you know, forever Thanksgiving pants.
Yeah.
And they now make it to where it can like suck that shit in, you know, like it's like Spanx.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all these things you just don't think about when you're younger.
I know. Well, it's even like when I'm like just clearing my throat in the microphone. Like when you're pregnant and the things that people don't tell you that's going to happen after you have the baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, nursing is not like this beautiful thing and it just comes naturally to everybody and you're just going to have this journey and it doesn't always happen like that.
Yeah.
And, like, your body's going to go through some crazy changes and you're going to be like, why do I still have a belly with the baby's been out for a month now? What's going on?
Some women get hair on their... like navel, what do you call it?
Oh, yeah.
Happy trail?
Yeah.
I didn't get that, thank God, but I had a rash over my entire body with Brody. And the only way, I was so uncomfortable. And the only way that it would go away, they said, is once you deliver. And it's like I was freaking allergic to being, I mean, when I say all over my body, I had a rash all over my body.
That's so crazy.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
they just don't tell you that.
Weird shit happens.
Or, hey, your boobs are going to go from a small C to a double H, and you're going to be wearing grandma bras and, like, with inch-thick straps to hold these suckers, you know? Or you can't sit in a booth because your boobs are on the table. I mean...
I've never had that problem. So,
well, when they first came in, it was like, ooh, instant boob job. You know, you're like a D and you're like, this is good. And then you're like, okay, all right, that's good. Okay, all right. And you're at a G. All right, that's
anytime.
Good. We're good. Oh, we're at an H. Like, okay, it's enough.
That's just nuts.
But I'm G, which is for gargantuan. So.
Like, where do you even buy your bras online?
Soma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's just like when you wear the underwire ones, it's just, oh my God. When people say you get home and you take your bra off,
and
it's amazing. It really is amazing. But it's hard to find like cute ones.
Yeah.
But they will hold them up and you just, oh my God, they can't breathe. So I don't know how many times I'll just like be sitting on the couch and I just move them into underneath as far over to my armpits as possible. And I stick my hands down and I go like this to hold my cleavage apart. And Eric always looks over and he's like, a little hot over there. I'm like, yeah.
These things are so heavy. Yeah.
Like, think about when you're trying to adjust your ball sack, you know, because it's hot and it's sticky and it's, you know, wherever it's sticking to. I don't know if it ever sticks back to their asshole or whatever. But it's just, you know, like, you got to let it breathe. Yeah.
I just cannot even imagine, honestly.
Yeah. Especially when it gets hot as hell here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My boobs are sweating. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
yes, along that line, we lose the elasticity all over our body.
Yeah.
Our face, boobs, everything just starts to get like saggy, stretchy.
Let's see, what else? There's so when you get to this age and we're looking at social media and things, you know, girls in their 20s or maybe their early 30s, and they're just looking freaking amazing. And, you know, they'll talk about certain upkeep that they do. Like, women bleach their assholes.
Mm.
Have you ever bleached your asshole?
No.
No, how awkward. Do you go to people that, like, do your Brazilian wax and they have, like, a swab of bleach and they're just like, oh, would you like to make this cute and pink? So
I'm gonna burn this. I'm gonna burn your asshole.
Sting a little bit.
I don't know. I have heard from, because I'm in the aesthetic world, yeah, right, that is, it's not an uncommon thing for them to hear asked for.
Uh-huh.
And actually one of our products has been used on anal bleaching.
Stop it.
Yeah, so you can use it if you want to try it at home. Just give it a little scrub-a-dub-dub.
Could you imagine? I haven't even tried that on my face because I'm so worried I'm going to have a reaction. If I put that on my asshole, God, I'd be like, Eric, I got to go to the hospital.
I got blisters all over.
Talk about Ring of Fire.
Oh my God.
Awful. But bleaching it, like, I guess if it is that stuff that you already put on your face to like even out some of the skin tone, but.
Because I think that my understanding from like a science perspective is like your genital region, mm-hmm, and anus are like the same
as the inside of your cheeks, right?
I don't know if it's the inside of your cheeks or around your mouth. So it's the same sensitivity, same type of cells from my understanding. I'm not a doctor, so that's just, so like it's a sensitive area. That's why like microneedling is really annoying right here to me because it's just so sensitive.
Yeah, well, all those nerve endings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I don't.
Okay, so then because it's a sphincter. Okay, because everything's all like gathered together. If you were to bleach it, wouldn't it need to be like totally spread out? You bleach it, but then when you sit back down, because I assume that you're like in the ready position with your butt up, right? So it's like opened. And then when you sit back down and everything all creases back up all tight, would it be like, would you not be bleaching it completely evenly because it would be like a tie-dye situation?
That's a good question. Right? Are we going to get like a little purplish pinky action going? Or brownish pinky, depending on your nationality?
Right? I mean, these are things I think about.
I think that's a good question. I should ask one of my estheticians.
Yeah, like, does it have to be dry for a certain time before you can pucker back up?
Because I know that people, I do have estheticians and a medical staff that do like laser hair removal all around that area. So I'm sure they get asked that question.
People laser?
Yeah.
Their butthole?
Yeah.
How can you grow hair on your butthole?
I mean, I don't know. It's just.
Do I need to check my butt?
I don't know. I mean, I'm hairless right now, so.
Okay, it can't be the actual butthole. Maybe like around the butthole that there would be hair.
Yeah.
But not in the butthole.
I don't think in the butthole. I think around. This is such a great conversation. Travis is so interested.
Oh my God.
I think it would be around, not like
in. Yeah.
Because like you can't like think of a man, they can't grow hair on their lip, you know?
But it's but just like
just around
like
it.
What about like people doing vagina tighteners? Now, I hear
about that all the time.
Because I had two C-sections, it's like a virgin. Touched for the very first time. Okay.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you. Oh my God. I need more coffee. So it's not like throwing a hot dog down a hallway, so I don't need one of those things. But for those, like, I can't imagine those that have had, like, five children. I mean, that's like, that's a bowling alley, right? Those kids are just popping, right? They're just sliding out. So,
and I think it depends on the size of the kids, too, right?
Yeah. But don't they like, so vagina tighteners, doesn't it look like a giant dildo? Mm-hmm. And then they stick it in there, and then somehow it generates the muscles to, like, contract?
I'm going to have to ask my estheticians again, but they do it all the time. It's called FemiLift.
Femi lift? Okay.
And I don't know entirely how it works. But it does look like a giant dildo or like the ultrasound thing. That's what it looks like.
And they, do they wrap a condom around that too? Like, I don't know. Do the ultrasound
thing? I'm sure they would have to for like sanitary reasons.
I feel like if it's like contracting things, how awkward would that be if you're in there with the person and it's like doing Kegel exercises and you're like, so, yeah, how was your, day?
Okay.
Oh, that feels kind of strange. That'd be so interesting. What a job for that to be.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do for a living? I tighten vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, but I'm sure there'd be a lot of women that would do that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's, from what I understand, it's like a really popular procedure.
Well, if it can give you better orgasms, then.
Vagina tightness.
Would be a little tight like a tiger.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
Just get it all wrapped up there.
Okay, so let's talk about some like mindset things as you get older.
Okay.
Right? Like, because you start looking at things differently.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel like once you reach 40, you just look at things differently than you did like when you were 20 or 30?
I feel like everybody makes it a big deal, especially women with aging. And I just think that I'm excited to be 40. Like, I think that 40s are going to be like my best years. That's just the way that I feel about it.
Yeah.
And
people say 40 is like the new 30, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe
I mean,
50 is the new 40.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like you've gone through your life, like I've experimented in my teenage and early 20s, and I've lived in different countries and different places, and I've gotten married, had a family.
Found yourself.
Right. Yeah. And so now I'm at the point where, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what is next, but I feel stable in my life. You know what I mean? So I'm not, like, trying to find all these different things. Like, I'm very happy with where I'm at.
Yeah.
But there is like that what's next type mentality.
So that's what I was going to say is, don't you kind of go through ebbs and flows now of, I'm too old for this shit. Fuck this shit. Yeah, fuck that. I don't want to give my energy to this. There's just a lot of fuck it things. Mm-hmm. But then there's also this, and I think social media feeds into it too, of you see how far other people have gone and become successful. And then you kind of feel like you set higher standards for yourself. Like, well, I now want to accomplish this. I want to accomplish this. So I feel like there's like this weird back and forth, at least for me, is I just feel like I'm so fuck it. But I want to make sure that I accomplished this. And so there's just this weird struggle, I feel like, internally. I don't know. It's a weird place.
Yeah. And I've talked to my mom about this, too, because, you know, they are experienced. They own businesses. So they've kind of gone through this. And she's like, this is the time in your life where you're going to see people start to get divorced.
Yeah.
You're going to start to see, like, people's parents dying. Like, it's a transitional
very
time.
Much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do I, self-reflection and COVID, like shutting so many things down. I think that actually did in the masses made a lot of people at all stages of life reflect very heavily because they weren't like running to their job. They had to stay home and whatever. And so there was a lot of self-reflection. I had it. I started my business when I wasn't going to do it until my kids graduated, you know, and we're off to college so that I could focus on me. But I had a moment of self-reflection, like, no, I need to take care of me too. And I'm just going to do it, you know? So I think it's, you do have to do a big self-reflection and what's most important to you. But at a certain age, yeah, I absolutely see people, you know, doing the whole divorce thing of, okay, we're at this stage. I know that I have it. Will hopefully have at least this amount of life left. How do I want to spend it? Or, you know, did we grow together or did we grow away from each other? I now want to go start my life up in this state, you know, or I want to go experience this. So these changes need to be made, or I don't know. It's just, it is kind of a weird stage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we're definitely at that pivotal point where we're going to start to see big changes in like our close group of friends, mm-hmm. and their relationships and just other things. And I feel like, so I told you I was on that leadership call this morning and it was like 2 hours and this guy owns his own business and there were other people on the call and you know, he kind of went around and asked people why they were there. And I was like, I love what I do. I've been in outside sales and an account executive for a long time. I really do enjoy that. I love talking to people.
Yeah.
Like at this point I'm helping like, you know, make women feel beautiful.
Yeah.
And helping like small businesses grow in the direction they want to. So I like that. I really enjoy it, but I also know that I'm a really hard worker. So I'm like, I have to be able to transition some of this energy to my own
life,
career, my own business. Yeah. And my own life. And I do have a pretty balanced life because my job is amazing. So, but again, it's not my company. I don't own it.
Right.
So I've always had like that entrepreneurial mindset. I just I need to like get my bearings and figure out how to get that started.
Right.
but yeah, I think, I don't know if 40 and like losing my, it was just like a combination, like losing my dad, then losing my hair, then, you know, well, it was like COVID, dad, hair, all these things where I've always kind of been like, I don't really give a fuck what anybody thinks about me in the first place. And now I'm really like, I just don't care.
Right.
So, you know, if someone else is doing something great, more power to you. You know, I'll cheer everybody on. But I need to focus on my own situation.
I've done such a 360. Like, I used to be the one that checked myself in the mirror all the time. I used to take 3 hours to get ready because everything about,
holy shit.
Yes, everything about my makeup, my hair, my outfit, everything had to be perfect. I mean, I put a lot of energy into that. And now I put like no energy. It's a complete, I care because I would like to be better about that. But all my energy I'm so used to all my energy going everywhere else. And I'm like not even on the list that it's not a concern for me.
Yeah, but you can't take care of other people if you don't take care of yourself.
I know. So that's where yes. And so with work and just with priorities and stuff, I'm at that stage where I definitely need to make a big change. But it is kind of funny when you kind of look at how your personality and your priorities have changed over the years and how different, you know, you are from the person that you were in your 20s or even early 30s. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, life just takes you in so many different directions. I feel like I read people too, like in terms of relationships with friends or family, or people that you just happen to meet along the way. I feel like time and time again, I constantly run into, okay, Katie, you need to trust your first read on the person. Because mm-hmm. I feel like I can read people within like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And every single time that I would tell my husband, like, don't like that person. But then he would say, well, just give them a chance. Or another friend would say, oh, just give them a chance. And then I do. It will end up being
that you were right in the
first place. I was right in the first place. They're not my people. Or just with, you know, things with family or whatever. And just really trying to be aware of the energy that you give people, mm-hmm. you know. So I think I've had enough things that have happened to make me trust my gut mm-hmm. to just stick with that. But there's also like when you read people and you're going, oh my God, that guy totally has a body in his basement, right?
Yes.
Don't you get that vibe? Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's crazy how you just, it could be just, you know, people watching and you're at a restaurant and you're looking over at someone and you're like, oh my God, I swear he's killed somebody.
Yeah.
I swear. Or like, or he's into bondage. Like there's something odd and off about that person and they're not even saying a word to you, but you just kind of, you read people's energy, right? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's a good thing.
And you realize that as with aging, right? Like that, because when you're younger, it's like, well, I can't make that judgment because I don't have anything to base that feeling on. And as an adult, you're like, I know from my past, this is 100% spot on. So
this is no bueno. No. This is a no-go zone. Just so many things that, I don't know, I feel like women don't talk about all these changes or expectations that we feel are put. What was that?
I have no idea.
They're collecting the dumpsters outside.
Oh, okay. I'm like, well, it is raining cats and dogs, literally.
I feel like there's so many expectations that we put on ourselves based on things that we see in social media or just like, you know, our friends, and you see how other people are able to, I don't know, either take care of themselves or portray themselves, and you already have all this stuff going on and you want to be better on all fronts, like not just the way you look, but the way you live or the whatever, right? It's, I just think all women carry a lot of, we are our worst critics, right? So when you already have that and then you have all this outside influence, it can be really exhausting.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I do. And I actually was just talking to my girlfriend, Amanda, yesterday. And we were kind of, her dad's the one that was just killed accidentally in a hunting accident yesterday. So her and I were talking just about life, and her family, she's just got an interesting family dynamic. I'll kind of just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But she's always been the one that goes above and beyond, the one that wants to lead women, the ones that want, you know, she'll start her own business. She is just trying to coach women in leadership and stuff like that. But she's never had support from her family ever.
She's her own rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you, and
sounds
like
somebody else I know.
You know, that's what we were just talking about. Yeah. We were just talking about, like, you know, shit happens, and like her dad was killed accidentally, a hunting accident. Just
what happened?
Yeah.
We don't totally know yet.
Yeah, it was just, I can't like go into it. It's just a hunting accident gone wrong. And she said, you know, of all the places he ever wanted to be, he loved Wyoming. He loved hunting. And so he died where he loved to be. And ironically, their whole family was just kind of torn apart because of her sister. And I'll just put it out there because that's what it is. And they weren't talking. They haven't talked for like 8 weeks. She didn't go to her sister's wedding. It was not good.
Oh, boy.
And so he actually called her before he died, and he said, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm losing a lot of blood. I'm not going to make it. I love you. And she's like, you know, it's like.
To the sister that.
No, he called Amanda and told her this. Because she hadn't talked to him since before her sister's wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she had done nothing wrong. It was their fault. So he should have apologized, and I'm glad that he did. And, but she's like, you know, it's crazy how something so horrific like this can happen, but it's almost like this is what needed us to come back together in the place where he loved the most, you know? Poor thing. So that's just, but then I was talking to my other girlfriend, and so Amanda and I were talking like, isn't this just crazy that we're at this time in our life where this is what's going to start happening. People's parents start dying.
I'm starting to go. Yeah.
You know, like all these weird things that as a kid you don't want to believe that you're ever going to get to that point, you know, or that you don't actively think about.
Right.
But
Well, there's the different stages, right? Like getting married and starting your family and having kids. And this is that next stage where now we're, you know, losing well, it becomes losing grandparents. And then it's losing parents. And then some people losing siblings. Like all like tragedies are, this is kind of that stage, unfortunately. And that is so... It's so hard. That's awful for her to go through something, not just tragic, but like really tragic. I mean,
yeah. And so her real dad died when she was little, and he died in a car accident. So traumatic accident. Married to her mom, and then this is her stepdad. This is really her only dad that she's ever known. He raised her since she was a baby. And he dies in this tragic accident. So she's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Like, how does this happen? So much tragedy. But she's always got that mindset. Like, you know what? This happened for a reason. We'll find out why. Maybe this is why. You know, horrible way to die. But this is, what's the reasoning? Like, there is a reason.
So all the family's now talking to each other?
They're all there right now. So when I talked to her yesterday, they were slowly starting to fly in.
I've thought about that because my older brother doesn't talk to me, and we still don't know why. It was just after we moved to Idaho, and you know, I reached out, and I don't get it. I don't know if it's when I didn't talk to my mom for a little bit, but my mom and I we're totally fine now. We talked everything out. We needed a separation, whole thing. But now her and I understand each other, and there was a lot of hurt. She was hurting me in ways she didn't understand, and then I would definitely hurt her, like with my words.
Yeah.
So her actions hurt me. My words would hurt her, and it was my way of lashing out and letting her know that, you know, I was. Anyway, it was, you know, family is just the whole thing. So, anyways, her and I are good. And so I don't know if my older brother, just because we didn't talk for a while, because my husband was like, well, you're the one, the only time you talk to your mom is when you reach out to her when we moved. He's like, just don't reach out and see if she reaches out to you. Cause I'm like, I just don't even feel like my mom loves me, you know? So, not reaching out to her, all of a sudden it was a couple of months, and then my middle brother called me. He's like, so I hear you refuse to talk to mom. And I'm like, what? No. That's not what happened. I just stopped reaching out, waiting to see if she would reach out to me, because I was the only one reaching out to her. So of course, as soon as I got off the phone with my middle brother, I called my mom and I'm like, what is going on? She's like, well, I heard that, you know, you couldn't even be in the same room with me. You wanted nothing to do with me. And I'm like, mom.
I'm pissed.
I told dad when he moved us here that this, I felt like me moving and us being separated was going to be a good thing for our relationship. And because at the current state, you and I could not even be in the same room with each other without there just being like these intense, like, issues, and it was toxic. It was not good. And I felt like this was a good thing. So however you took that, like, totally out of context, like, that's not what I meant. And so anyways, but she's come up here a couple of times. We've talked everything out. And we're moving past all the hurt that we caused each other. And, but in that time, never talked to my brother. Just I tried reaching out to have like his family come up, I guess now twice, because I did it like a year or so ago, sent some text messages, you know, wouldn't get a response, or I would include him also on other text messages with family members, never got a response. So long story short, in like your friend, I am worried that if something happens with my parents, that that's the only time that, you know, he's going to, because I just kind of stopped. Like, I did invite them to Thanksgiving. They're not going to come. But, you know, you try to be the bigger person, and just, but you got to move on.
Yeah. Right. And you can't focus on that, because If you've reached out and extended the olive branch and he doesn't reciprocate,
yeah,
then you're just expending energy. That's not on you.
Exactly.
You know?
So these are the things at this stage of life that you just kind of have to say to yourself, okay, am I going to give any more of my energy to this? If this is not a feel good, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm only willing to do X amount because I have to look after my energy and, you know, the people in my life that, you know, I need to give my good energy to, like that for a little while was bearing down on me and really, it was very hurtful, but I had to let that hurt go and just kind of move on with my life. It's sad, but you know, family just is not, it's not always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we have to wrap up, but family, your friends, our life, our work, you know?
Yeah. It all changes with age.
Yeah.
All of it.
And if you're listening to this,
no one tells you.
I know. And if you're listening to this, like maybe just have a moment and kind of self-reflect, like, okay, where am I? Do I need to really kind of refocus my energy and what is important?
Yeah.
Because we can get really off track really quickly. So
just like we do on our podcast.
God. So bad. Okay, guys.
It is. Yeah.
Well, have a great weekend.
Yes, we'll be back next week, probably next time with Shelby. So
okay, he's coming back.
All we're right. gonna do 2 hours or at least like an hour and a half because, you know, his wife was Mormon, so we're gonna dive into that. Okay. So Shelby will be back.
All right, and you'll want to take notes on how to make some money on some real estate.
He's so smart. He's almost like a savant.
Oh
yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, Shelby. Guys. All have right. a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it.
All right, time's up, people. Hope you enjoyed yourselves as much as we did.
Yeah, and come find us on social media, on Instagram, Say What Podcast 2021. Give us a follow. If you have questions or topics you want us to cover, you can slide that right into our DM.
Slide it in like butter, baby.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review.
Cheers.